Okay, so have you ever like seen an ad and just felt like something was off?
Off. How so?
Like, where they're making these huge promises, but it just feels, I don't know, misleading, like they're not really going to deliver.
Ah, I see what you mean.
As law students, I bet you guys are already starting to think about the legal side of all this, right? Like, where's the line between clever marketing and straight up false advertising?
Yeah, absolutely. That's a super relevant question for anyone going into law, for sure.
Well, today, get ready. Because we're diving deep into a case that grapples with that exact issue. It's the Time Warner Cable versus DirecTV case. We've got all sorts of goodies to help us unpack it, legal briefs, some expert commentary, even a standard case brief to make sure we hit all the key points. And our goal today, our mission, is to really break down the difference between puffery, that's the advertising world's fancy way of saying exaggerated claims, and actual literal falsity. The kind that can get you in trouble under the Lanham Act.
Right, and it might seem like, oh, that's an easy distinction, but this case shows just how tricky it can be, especially when you start digging into what an ad implies, not just what it says directly. There's a lot of nuance there.
So before we get into the nitty-gritty, can you give us the big picture? Like, what was the core issue the court was trying to figure out about DirecTV's ads?
It all boils down to this question. Were DirecTV's claims that they had better HD picture quality just them being good marketers? A bit over the top, maybe? Or did they cross that line into actually making false statements, the kind that could really hurt their competitor, Time Warner Cable, legally speaking? That's the line advertisers are always walking.
To make sure we're all on the same page, can you set the scene for us? What were these DirecTV ads actually saying that got Time Warner Cable so riled up they ended up in court?
Sure thing. Time Warner Cable, we'll call them TWC for short, they got upset about a bunch of DirecTV ads that ran on TV and online. And the basic message was, hey, DirecTV has way better HD picture quality than cable. But here's the catch, and this is really important for our legal analysis. Time Warner Cable and DirecTV offer the exact same HD quality. So keep that in mind as we go through this. It's kind of a big deal for understanding literal falsity.
Wait, so they had identical picture quality, but DirecTV was saying theirs was better. That seems kind of fishy from the get-go. What happened when this first went to court?
At first, the district court sided with Time Warner Cable. They granted what's called a preliminary injunction, which basically meant, hey, DirecTV, you got to stop running those ads because they seem false and they're probably hurting TWC. But of course, DirecTV didn't just take that lying down. They appealed the decision to the Second Circuit Court of Appeals, and that's where things get a little more interesting, legally speaking.
So the higher court didn't totally agree with the lower court's ruling. What were the specific legal issues they focused on? What were they trying to untangle?
Okay, so the Second Circuit zeroed in on three main questions. First, they wanted to figure out if those TV commercials from DirecTV had actually made literally false statements under the Lanham Act, which is the big law in this area. Second, they looked at those internet ads and asked, are these just puffery? Those exaggerated claims no one takes seriously. And lastly, they considered whether Time Warner Cable deserved this legal thing called a presumption of irreparable harm because of what DirecTV was doing.
To even start answering those questions, they must have relied on some pretty well-established legal principles about advertising, right? What are the key concepts they use to analyze all of this?
You got it. So when we talk about literal falsity in advertising, we're talking about cases where the ad's message is clear, it's unambiguous, and it's just plain wrong. Like, you don't even need to do a survey to ask consumers what they think. It's just false on its face. Now, puffery is a different animal. That's when you have these subjective claims, often super exaggerated, like we're the best in the world or our product will change your life. Those are usually so over the top that no reasonable consumer would take them as fact. It's that gross exaggeration element that usually tips things into puffery territory. And finally, irreparable harm basically means that someone has suffered damage that's ongoing and can't easily be fixed. This is especially important in comparative advertising cases, because if you make a false claim that your product is better, you could be doing serious, lasting damage to your competitor's reputation.
Okay, so let's talk about those TV ads, the ones with Jessica Simpson and William Shatner. What did they say that the court was concerned about?
Well, in that Jessica Simpson ad, she basically came out and said, if you want the best picture quality for your awesome big screen TV, you got to get DirecTV. But remember, we know that cable offered the exact same HD quality. So the court looked at that and said, hold on, this is a flat-out lie. They're claiming superiority where there is none. That, my friend, is a textbook example of a literally false statement.
So that one's pretty straightforward. But what about the William Shatner ad where he's like, it would be illogical to settle for cable? That sounds more like an opinion or some persuasive argument, right? How did the court approach that one?
This is where it gets really interesting, and where that legal idea of necessary implication becomes super important. An ad can be considered literally false, even if it doesn't explicitly say something untrue. If the whole context of the ad leads a reasonable viewer to a false conclusion, that's enough. So in the Shatner ad, he didn't come right out and say cable has worse HD than DirecTV, but the court said, look, the whole tone, the way he's talking about settling and being illogical, if you consider that in the context of picture quality, it strongly implies that cable's HD is inferior. And again, we know that wasn't true.
So it's not just about the words themselves, it's about the overall message the viewer can't help but take away.
Exactly. And the court made an important distinction here, something that's really relevant for future lawyers. They contrasted this kind of claim with ones that would need hard data from consumer surveys. For example, if DirecTV had said, most of our customers say our picture quality is better, well, then they'd need a survey to back that up. But in the Shatner ad, the court said the false message was baked right into the ad's implication, so they didn't need any fancy survey to prove it was false.
Got it. So now let's move on to those internet ads, the ones that showed this super blurry cable picture next to a crystal clear DirecTV picture. Those seem like such a huge exaggeration. Did the court find those misleading too?
It's funny you should mention that because the Second Circuit actually said those internet ads were puffery. They weren't literally false.
Really? I mean, come on. Those images were so obviously fake.
Right. And that's exactly why the court let them slide. They said the visual exaggeration was so extreme, like the cable picture was ridiculously blurry, almost comically bad, that no one in their right mind would believe it. It was just so far beyond reality that it fell into that category of non-actionable hyperbole.
So the more ridiculous the exaggeration, the less likely it is to be a problem. That seems kind of backward.
I know, it's counterintuitive.
Mm-hmm.
But the idea is that when a claim is so clearly over the top, consumers can see right through it. They're not going to be fooled. The court even gave a helpful example. They said that if DirecTV had only made the cable picture a tiny bit blurry, just slightly off, that might have been a problem. Because then it's more believable, even though it's still not true. It all comes down to how exaggerated the claim is.
That does make sense. It's like a difference between a cartoon where everything's crazy and a photo that's just slightly doctored. One is obviously fake. The other could trick you.
Yeah, that's a great way to put it. And it goes to show how these cases are all about the specific facts. The court also considered the different mediums, you know, TV versus the internet, when thinking about puffery.
Oh, yeah, I bet that matters. So what did they say about that?
Well, they pointed out that whether something counts as puffery can depend on the context and the way people consume the ad. Think about it. A fast-paced TV commercial hits you differently than a static image online that you can stare at and scrutinize. So they're acknowledging that advertising law has to keep up with how people actually see and experience these ads in different mediums.
Interesting. Okay, last big legal point, that presumption of irreparable harm. Remind us why Time Warner Cable was saying they were being harmed in a way that couldn't be easily fixed, and why did the Second Circuit agree, at least for those TV ads?
This gets to the heart of why we even have laws like the Lanham Act. It's all about making sure there's fair competition. Usually, if you want to stop someone from running false ads, you got to prove they're going to keep hurting you in a way that money can't fix. But in this case, the Second Circuit looked at past cases and said, look, Time Warner Cable gets to assume they've suffered this kind of harm because those TV ads were straight up false.
But hold on, DirecTV's ads didn't specifically say Time Warner Cable, right? They just said cable generally.
That's right. But the court was smart about this. They said, okay, even though they just said cable, in those places where Time Warner Cable was the main cable provider, people would automatically think those ads were talking about TWC. So by saying cable was worse, DirecTV was basically saying Time Warner Cable's was worse, even without naming them directly. And because that message was false, it meant people would think less of Time Warner Cable's product, and that kind of damage to their reputation is hard to undo.
So even if you just use general terms, you can still get in trouble if it's clear who you're talking about and what you're saying is a lie.
Right. That's the takeaway for anyone thinking about doing comparative advertising. Be careful. Even using generic terms can backfire, especially if you're making claims that you can't back up. You could end up with a judge forcing you to stop running those ads.
This has been a really fascinating deep dive, and I feel like we've uncovered some pretty important stuff about advertising law. Can you summarize the biggest takeaways for our listeners, especially for law students just starting out?
You bet. There are a few things to really remember from the Time Warner Cable v. DirecTV case. First, that necessary implication idea is a major deal in Lanham Act cases. Literal falsity doesn't always mean someone directly lied. You have to look at the whole ad, the words, the visuals, the whole package to see if it sends a false message, even indirectly. Second, understand how far you can go with puffery before it becomes a problem. The more exaggerated and unbelievable the claim, the more likely it is to be okay. But as we saw, that's a judgment call based on the specific ad. And third, know when you need proof. For claims about what consumers think, you'll probably need surveys. But if the ad is just plain false, you might not need that extra evidence.
And something that really stood out from those legal podcasts we listened to was how disclaimers don't always get you off the hook.
Yeah, one expert was really adamant about that. They said that little disclaimer at the bottom of the screen isn't going to save you if the main message of your ad is misleading or flat out false. It's all about the overall impression. Context is everything in this area of law.
So, zooming out a bit, what's the big picture lesson of this case? What should advertisers and lawyers take away from this whole Time Warner Cable v. DirecTV saga?
Advertisers should be extra careful about claiming they're better than the competition, especially if they can't prove it. That necessary implication standard means they got to think hard about every part of their ad and the message it sends, not just the words they use. And for those of you going into law, this case is a reminder that you can challenge ads on multiple levels. You can go after explicitly false statements, but you can also target implied falsity. It also shows you when you might need consumer surveys and when you can argue that an ad is just inherently false.
Well, I think we've really gotten to the bottom of this pivotal case in advertising law. As you continue your legal studies, think about this. Advertising is changing all the time with new technology and new ways to persuade people. So how do these traditional legal concepts of literal falsity and puffery keep up? Are the lines getting blurry or are these principles still solid? How do we separate fair competition from misleading ads in the digital age? Those are some big questions to ponder. Thanks for joining us for this deep dive.